Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 9th day of March, year of our Lord, 2018, and welcome to the John Moore Show. The breaking news is that, to the surprise of pretty much everybody, Donald Trump is going to meet with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. It is a surprise to pretty much everybody, a good surprise, and there's a lot of potential there for good to come of this, so congratulations, Donald Trump, for doing so. Proper tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to find a church to be part of. It could be a brick-and-mortar church, a home church, or you might want to start your own home church. Why not? But being part of a church, regardless of whether it's a home church or a brick-and-mortar church, I believe it's an essential part of life and living. The social part of it is something, unless you've been part of a church, is something people won't understand. But the social part of it is very important, as much as any other part of being part of a church. So that's your proper tip of the day. Typically, we have Tom Berryhill calling in the first hour. Apparently, he has not yet. If Tom does, we will bring him on board and discuss emergency communications. That's what we'll do. Why should you join a church? Good question. Why should you? It's part of an overall focus on your getting your spiritual house in order. Clearly and obviously, you could do this on your own without being part of a church, a home church, brick-and-mortar church, or otherwise. Of course, you could, on one hand. On the other, sharing an hour a week, maybe 2 hours if there was a meal involved, with people who have commonality of beliefs that you do, people of like mind. They're out there. They are out there. Trust me, they are. You may have to do some searching. You may have to do a little bit of work on your own, but they're out there. You may end up starting a home-based church with maybe just two or three families. But whatever it takes, get that moving. Well, okay, it looks like we have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began more than half a century ago his quest to become knowledgeable of radio communications. He became a ham radio operator, licensed ham radio operator, more than half a century ago. He's gone on to have a successful career involving many aspects of electronics. And we're going to talk about emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you today?
Well, enjoying a late winter, early spring day. How about yourself, sir?
Same here. Really looks like a nice day, kind of chilly, but nice and clear.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, I've noticed, and it's more evident in men and women taking lessons to become a pilot, but a hesitation on the part of people to pick up a microphone and start talking the first time. Have you seen that yourself?
Oh, yeah. You know, John, many years ago, I would have friends come over, and they want to check out this. You know, they knew about the ham radio that I had, and they wanted to see it, and they expressed interest in it. And we would maybe get on the air, and they wanted to hear a conversation, and I would contact somebody and then explain to the other station I was demonstrating the equipment to a visitor. And then they would want to, the other station might want to talk to that visitor. And they were very apprehensive about touching that microphone or getting near it. They just wanted to watch and listen, but they were scared to talk. I don't know what it was, but they were very
nervous. Well, that's expected. That's a very expected human response. People are fearful of doing the wrong thing or sounding like a fool or sounding like an idiot. So you can't sound like a fool if you don't talk, can you?
Yeah, that's right. Well... Eventually, some of these people would take a chance with it, I guess, and they would start talking. Once they got into it, there was no problem. They enjoyed it, and I know a couple of times the conversation went on for well over an hour, so it was pretty interesting. And I know in one case, that guy actually became a ham operator. It sparked his interest so much that he pursued it. And became a ham operator himself.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, the last Saturday, you were our instructor. We had a ham radio class down in Viburnum. We're going to commence, I think, in a week or so, ham radio training classes to help people get their ham radio license. I need to talk to the pastor of our church. We had him. I did see him couple of days ago, but we were busy preoccupied with other matters and didn't get a chance to talk about ham radio. But we're moving forward. We've got, I think, let's see, about six adults and maybe one or two teenagers interested at the moment. We hope to increase that number, but that's more than enough to get started, isn't it, Tom?
Well, it only takes one interested person, John, to get started. And there were quite a few interested people there. So it's a good start. It really is.
Right, right. Well, and the reason I'm talking about this, ladies and gentlemen, is because I'm not the Lone Ranger. You could be doing this yourself. You could be in Maine and Texas and Washington State, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Minnesota. It doesn't matter. Michigan. You can do this any place. Just find some people who are interested in emergency communications and get together and start the training. Would the ARRL website be a good place to get the material you need for training, Tom, do you think?
Well, that's a perfect starting point, really, is to go to the American Radio Relay League. I believe it's ARRL.org, and they would be able to guide you as to what materials you need. I'm sure they have a whole section. I'm pretty sure I saw something on their website once. They have a whole section on information that will get you started and point you in the right direction. And, of course, you can find a club in your area. If there's a ham radio club that's local, you can easily attend one of their meetings and explain that you're a newcomer and you'd like to learn. And most of these clubs do have training classes, and many of them also will do the testing sessions. All the ham radio tests are now administered by volunteer examiners, and many years ago they went to that instead of going to the federal building and taking a intimidating test in front of a examiner that never ever shows a smile. I mean, it was John, it was very brutal, to say the least. But they've relaxed all those rules, and now they have volunteer examiners that anybody with a, I believe it's a general class or higher license, can be a volunteer examiner. So the radio clubs would do this themselves, and some of their members will perform that task. I believe it takes three. I think you need three ham operators, general class or higher, that can do that testing. So it's pretty simple. Yes.
Well, it is. And, yeah, when you were taking the test at the federal building, it sounds like the people administering the test took themselves far too seriously, Tom.
Well, it was serious business, John. I mean, the same people that gave the ham test would be giving other commercial tests. I've been to the federal building in St. Louis and Kansas City both to take ham tests and commercial tests. And many times they'll be giving ham tests in one room and a commercial test in another room and so on. And it's just their government job. And they were pretty effective at it. And some of them were pretty nice, but for the most part, they were just, I don't know, it's like dealing with a rock or something. They were just there, and they did the job, no friendliness at all, very little friendliness.
Well,
I don't know
I just,
what it was about that.
Well, it was what it was. But regardless, I just verified, Tom. I was pretty sure I had a link on my links page for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, and I do in fact have a link to their website on my links page at my website at thelibertyman.com. Big bold red letters ARRL. Just click on that, and you'll be instantly at their website. I have a couple other useful things. Amateur Radio Journal, CQ, Amateur Radio Journal. It's a publication for ham radio people. And I think I have a link to Universal Radio. They're a retailer of pretty much anything and everything you'd ever want to purchase for emergency communications. Right, Tom?
That's right. Universal Radio has a pretty good reference a section on their website. If you're looking at particular types of equipment and you're looking for the specifications, photographs of the equipment, and all the details, they'll supply those for you. For most ham radio equipment, current and some of the antique stuff as well. So that's a handy website. And, John, a lot of people ask, how did the American Radio Relay League get their name? And that goes way, way back to the early telegraphy days. The transmissions of messages would not travel very far in the early days of ham radio. So therefore, to get a message maybe from the East Coast to the West Coast, they would set up a series of relay stations. And the intermediate stations would receive that message and then retransmit it to another station who would do the same until it reached its destination. And that's how they basically got their name. That's how it started.
Tom, your signal's breaking up. Are you on a landline or a cell phone, sir?
No, I have a headset here, and I'm on a landline phone, John.
Hello? Is Tom gone?
No, I'm here.
Yeah, it's breaking up.
Is it any better now?
You hear him fine. On my end, it's breaking up. Well, apparently, I'm the one that's breaking up on my end, and everybody listening is listening to a good, solid signal. So we'll just continue as if nothing's happening.
Okay.
We had a number of incidents. incidents in Vietnam where guys were talking on a field phone, which is basically World War One technology, hardwired field phone, to a guy with a radio, to another guy with a radio in the United States, to mom or dad on a landline. That happened, I couldn't tell you how many times, but it happened numerous times, where all these seemingly incompatible pieces of equipment did in fact work together to allow a young soldier to communicate with his wife or his parents back here in the States. And we need a cadre of men and women who still know how to do this, don't we, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. That would be an absolute requirement. The system I think you're referring to is the MARS, military affiliate radio system. It started, I think, probably in the 50s. I believe it started in the 50s. And they would have equipment that operated outside of the ham radio bands, but nearby frequencies that were set aside for these services. You could easily tune them in with your ham radio receiver. I remember listening to them many times in the 60s, and I'd hear a lot of the conversations coming from the GIs in Vietnam. And I could hear the transmissions direct from Vietnam. I could hear the stateside stations handling a lot of that traffic. You know who was big in that, John, was Barry Goldwater. He had a very well-known station in Arizona. I believe he had a station in Washington, D.C. as well. And they handled a tremendous amount of traffic for the...
You mean Colonel Goldwater?
Barry Goldwater, he was the senator.
You mean Colonel Goldwater?
Was he a colonel?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He was a colonel of the United States Air Force. Absolutely, he was. Oh, yeah.
Well, I remember his call sign, K7UGA. He'd get on a radio. I never did speak to him. But I did contact that station one time, but it was on Mars code and was a guest operator. It wasn't Barry himself, but that was years ago. It's amazing how many famous people are ham operators. I mean, the list is extensive, and it would really surprise you. You know, I a lot of people know who Joe Walsh is from the Eagles, and I sold him a telegraph key, and if Joe ever, if he's listening, I want that key back. I wish I never sold it to him. But really. And he really wanted that telegraph key bad. They were hard to find. It was what's called an Autronics key or paddle. And Joe Walsh has an extensive antique radio collection. In fact, I've heard it references made to pricing. Huge price increases on some of this equipment because of him single-handedly. He would get on eBay and bid that stuff up because he really wanted it. Wow. I guess had the money to pay for it. So,
right.
But that was, that's amazing how many well-known people are on the ham radio bands.
Well, there's actually a website that lists all the famous people that we know of that are ham radio operators. There's a ham radio operator living near my daughter who has a pretty nice collection of telegraph keys in a glass display case. It must be, I'd say, 30 or 40. It's a lot. I don't know one telegraph key from another, but it looks like a pretty complete set of antique telephone keys to me. I've never had an inclination myself to learn Morse code, but I think it's an excellent skill. And if somebody does feel inclined, I would encourage them to move forward and learn that skill. There's a famous story, Tom, about one of our American pilots who was in the Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp in North Vietnam being interviewed on videotape, a movie film, and they had him reading a script on one hand. On the other, he was blinking his eyes, and a sharp person noticed the blinks seemed to have a regularity to them, and he was blinking in Morse code torture.
I've read about that. Yes.
Yeah, we have a break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Are you spiritually and mentally armed and ready for the battle ahead? Don't miss Hear the Watchman Dallas 2018, March 23rd through the 25th at the Hilton Dallas Fort Worth Lakes Executive Conference Center. Join the remnant body of Christ at this powerful, life-changing event. Activate your faith and join 18 prophetic teachers of truth, including L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Paul Begley, Dr. Donna Mary Colbert, along with this year's special guest, prophetic prayer walker Henry Groover. The time is now to gain ground and make history as we approach turbulent times. Get baptized, get trained, be freed of strongholds that bind you. You will be empowered, you will be blessed. This could be the most important weekend of your life. Join God's army in 2018. Visit hearthewatchman.com to reserve your seat today. This event will sell out. Go to hearthewatchman.com and make your reservation. And in the end, Jesus wins.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 9th of March. If you plan on attending the Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas, I will be the keynote speaker. Look forward to meeting you. If you want to get a $20 discount, just go to my website, click on the Hear the Watchman banner to get the promotion code for the $20 discount. If you can't be there, there's a 20% discount on the live feed that you can participate that way if you can't be there in person. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. The call number is 800-313-9443. We have a caller on hold here, Tom. We've got Dave in Texas. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Small correction. General Goldwater, he retired.
Was it General? Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Air Force Reserves, retired as a major general. He entered the Air Force, Army Air Corps, World War II. and he's probably the most maligned, if not one of the most maligned politicians ever. When he ran for president, he was replaced by McCain, and probably you remember that he was in Arizona. He was a guy who founded the Arizona National Guard as well.
Right, right. Well, the mass media hammered Barry Goldwater because he was not the chosen one to be president. It was a shame what they did to him. It was a smear campaign, basically. They took things out of context. They made things up. They made him out to be something that he certainly wasn't. And he didn't deserve any of that, did he, Dave?
No, he was a great man. He pretty much led the desegregation of the Air Force as well. He desegregated the National Guard there in Arizona before, I think, anybody else. And he was also one of the guys who led for the creation of the Air Force Academy. He was a great man, absolutely great man, and a great pilot.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the correction, and I appreciate that, Dave. Anything else?
No, sir. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Well, I stand corrected, Tom. It was General Goldwater, not Colonel Goldwater. But he was truly a great man and also a ham radio operator, wasn't he, Tom?
Yes, he was for many, many decades, and a very well-known operator. John, when he would get on the air, unless you had a huge, powerful transmitter, the chances of get through to that station... I mean, everybody wanted to talk to him at the same time.
Right,
and they had a
right.
lot of guest operators. He would his station was available many times to visitors, and they would operate his station. So I was able to talk to them one time, but it was with Morse code. And to talk about Morse code, we should mention that in an emergency, that is sometimes the most effective way to get a signal through, because you're simply turning the transmitter off and on. The power of that transmitter is turned off and on to make those dots and dashes, and the receiver at the other end only has to listen for that weak transmitter, whereas voice communications, to be intelligible, takes many times a higher power level. And if there's any static noise or fading signals, it's just not as effective as Morse code. So in all-out emergency, the Morse code or CW operations are the most effective. They're not sometimes as fast, but they're the most effective.
It was true in 1918. It's true in 2018, isn't it?
Yes, and it's the simplest form of radio communications. But now there's a lot of new digital modes that are also very effective. In fact, some of them are so good that they can hear the signal. When you put a set of headphones on and that receiver, you may hear really almost nothing. But that computer equipment interconnected to the radio equipment will pick up that signal almost at the noise level, or sometimes a little bit below the average, what we call the noise floor, where there's the signal is almost not there, and they'll pick it up. It's incredible. So the digital modes are also very good to learn about. It seems like the younger crowd that gets involved in ham radio, they seem to get involved with the digital modes very early on in their ham career. They really enjoy the digital modes. I guess it kind of fits in with the cell phones and the laptops, the computers that they're all used to using. So they just interconnect that same equipment with the ham radio, and they're off and running.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, looking at ham radio from the outside, people feel intimidated. People feel like it's just going to be too much. I want to reassure everybody listening that we routinely, and this is not a big deal, we routinely have 8 and 9 year old boys and girls passing these tests to become a ham radio operator. Here's our break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard. And we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
All right, we are back. Let's tell them we're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 9th day of March, into the second week here already. How about that? My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. If you haven't been there in a while, you might find some new things there, some new videos you haven't seen before, most likely one or two new images of continents with new coastlines posted there as well. It's a fascinating project that we're working on together, you, myself and the listeners. And, of course, Energy Cleaners for sale. This is my home business. Tonight's the night that where I ship my Energy Cleaners from the Cherryville Post Office, which is part of the Cherryville General Store, where on Friday nights they have an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $8 with side dishes and beverage included. How about that? The Energy Cleaner is a healing device. At my website, you'll find the Energy Cleaner logo there on the right side. You can download it in a PDF form if you need to. You can read the very nice testimonials from people we know, like Steve Whitman. I need to get Steve on the show with me maybe in the next week or so. And, of course, you can make your decision. You can get yourself an Energy Cleaner to get a pad that goes with it. Make your purchase using PayPal. PayPal is the most secure way to make payments online. It really is peace of mind using PayPal when you go to some of these websites to make a purchase, knowing that your financial information is secure. MasterCard, Visa, yeah, you can send me a check or a money order. My address is right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. Please keep in mind, as of the first year, we're offering me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do, from me to you personally, a 90-day money-back guarantee. So I stand behind what I sell, and you can count on it working for pain mitigation and for getting a great night's sleep. I have a toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications. And if you got a question or comment, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, you're coming on here every Friday. It's a great service. To have people be able to communicate with a man who's got more than half a century experience under his belt. You got into this area when vacuum tube radios were still what was in most common use, up to the present moment where you personally have been a manufacturer of circuit boards for high-performance jet aircraft manufactured by McDonnell Douglas, which is now Boeing. And you've seen this transition over these decades from low-tech vacuum tubes, which became into use a century ago, basically, to where we are now with these modern circuit boards, haven't you, sir?
Oh, yeah, John, that's right. You know, when I first got involved in this, the transition from kilocycles and megacycles to kilohertz and megahertz, gigahertz and all, that was just coming into play. In fact, we never talked about gigahertz. That was way, way up there. And now these computer speeds and all that are up in the gigahertz range. But that term, that word was rarely used back in the 1960s. Unless you were working on radar systems or something, you didn't hear gigahertz too much. But many of the old-timers back then refused to say kilohertz. They didn't like that. They wanted to talk about cycles per second, kilocycles, megacycles, and so on. And some of my favorite equipment is still calibrated that way. It says KC on the front panel. It doesn't say KHZ. So it was, I was in on the transition in those same days, John. We were going from vacuum tubes to solid state, and a lot of the equipment, some of it I still use to this day, has vacuum tubes in it. In fact, some of the finest equipment ever made and still in use and still preferred by certain radio operators is the vacuum tube equipment, and it's getting harder and harder to find the tubes, but they're out there. Buy brand new ones still.
And, tell us why these men and women would like this particular type of equipment with vacuum tubes, if you know, sir.
Well, of course, we always talk about the EMP, you know, the electromagnetic pulse problem. In a situation with EMP, there would be minimal to maybe even no damage to the equipment at all. And I personally like the tube-type radios because they were not as noisy. If you were trying to do weak signal work, very, very weak signals would come through a lot better on the tube type of equipment because the tubes just weren't as noisy as the solid-state equipment. The transistors themselves, in the early days, had more with those circuits, I had more noise. Internally generated noise than a tube-type circuit. So in those days, the tube equipment was still better, although the solid-state really started improving as time went on, and it's the preferred method. The modern equipment nowadays, solid-state, is just phenomenal. It's amazing. But I have to tell you, John, some of my favorite equipment is still those. I have a couple of receivers here that I've had since the 1960s, and they're just really some of my favorite equipment. I guess because I I've had it so long, and then other equipment I wanted in those days was so expensive I couldn't afford it, and I was able to purchase some of that in later years. And I would say my absolute favorite all-time ham radio receiver is a Drake R4B. That is a really, really nice receiver. It's not very large, and it has an analog dial. It's there's, I think, a few diodes. There's a few solid-state components in it, but for the most part, it's all a tube. And I really, really like that receiver. And that's what I use to listen to shortwave broadcasts as well as the ham radio transmissions. I use it quite often, and it's a fantastic receiver. I have a lot of solid-state equipment, too, but there's just something about that old tube equipment that you just never want to give it up. It's just interesting to
right.
use. But of course, you know, we're speaking about emergency communication, so the EMP problem is definitely should be on your mind. If you're purchasing equipment, you want to have backup systems and things that would continue to operate in the event of a electromagnetic pulse attack. You should really consider the tube type of equipment.
Right.
And even
if you've got the tube type equipment, I would still encourage people to protect it by disconnecting it from the antenna and the power source and using a Faraday cage.
Because some of the capacitors, especially, and even maybe some of the resistors in there could be damaged, and the coils, there's some very very small wires that are used inside the coils for those receivers especially, and they could easily be damaged by a very large energy pulse. So all of this equipment is susceptible to damage from an EMP, so you do want to keep it protected. And I never keep antennas plugged into anything if I'm not using it.
Well, because of lightning would be that reason, right?
Well, lightning and then the EMP as well, because if you don't have an antenna connected, the chance of an electromagnetic pulse damaging any internal circuitry would be much less.
Right. Well, that's one of the things I've got the report from the commission to study EMP, and that's one of the things that they point out there. Is that if the equipment is unplugged from the power grid and the antenna is disconnected, you've done a lot just by doing that. You've done a lot to protect your equipment from EMP.
That's very true. And even late model solid-state equipment that's currently produced, if it was kept, I would think, in a metal box that was grounded at one point. You don't want to have two grounds, just one grounding point, because that prevents a lot of current from being generated if there was a nearby EMP pulse. You just want one ground location to drain off that energy. And I think that equipment would probably survive and be intact and could be put back into service. So that's an important thing to take into consideration. But it's true that the antennas connected to any type of equipment, whether it be tube or solid state, will bring a lot of energy in the event of a lightning hit or EMP. You'll pick up a lot of that energy with that antenna. So keeping those antennas disconnected and even ground the antennas when they're not in use is a wise thing to do. Any static charges that build up will be drained off the ground, and any nearby lightning hits will be drained off. You know, John, you don't have to have a direct hit by lightning to get some severe damage. I've had equipment damage from lightning that hit more than a half a mile away. It still was enough energy induced into that antenna circuit to damage some equipment. So that I learned the hard way. Get those antennas disconnected. I can tell you a quick story. Many, many years ago, I guess I was about 15 years old, something like that, there was a huge storm coming in, and I very quickly tried to disconnect all my antennas, and a lightning strike at least a mile away. I saw it. I saw it out the window, and right as I was disconnecting an antenna, it didn't zap me, but I was getting that antenna connector over to the grounding block, and I was about a quarter of an inch away from grounding that antenna cable when that lightning hit a mile away, and it shot a spark across that, a huge spark went across that gap from the tip of that connector to that grounding block. And that lightning was at least a mile away. So that's
well. Let's talk about this a little bit.
This
a little bit, Tom. It's first of all, here's a warning. These surge protectors that people buy, typically it's a power strip with a surge protector built in. Those are engineered to protect equipment from routine spikes in the power grid itself. They are not, and they will not protect against lightning, will they, Tom?
No, they. And if they do, it's one time, because that lightning will. Those are called metal oxide varistors. That's usually what's inside of those surge suppressors, unless it's the real good type that are gas tube. If you do get surge suppression equipment, some of it will have both technologies. They'll have the metal oxide varistors, and they act like a clamping. Like a resistor that's an open circuit, but under a very high voltage, they clamp down and short it out to ground and drain that energy to ground. The gas tubes are really some of the best because they can recover. And I used to manufacture some telephone equipment for the Bell operating companies years ago, and they all had gas tubes installed. And I saw some of the testing equipment, John, that they would use for these gas tubes. And the tubes themselves were a white ceramic material with the electrodes on the end. And they would actually generate voltages to test the gas tubes to the point where the tubes were glowing orange. That ceramic material in a darkened room, you could see the orange glow. That's how hot they were getting, and they were still working. So that's how effective those gas tubes are. If you're going to put surge suppression in, make sure it has gas tubes. They're the best.
Now, is this gas tube power strip? I'm not sure what to call them. Can this kind of equipment be bought at your local hardware store, Tom?
I don't know if a hardware store would have them. It's possible. It's popular enough to where you probably could find it in a retail outlet if you looked hard enough. Most of the
how would you know when you're looking at it? How would you know that's how it's built? How would you know that?
Well, since it's electrical equipment and has a underwriter's lab, a UL certification on it, it's going to be totally enclosed. You'll see where plugs in the wall or maybe wires, if it's a larger unit, has to be interconnected to the power panel, but you'll never see inside of it. It'll have to have it in the printed on the container it's packed in, or in the specifications listing.
What would the writing say?
You would look for the words gas tube, gas discharge tubes, or gas tube. And a real simple form of a gas tube, John, is many appliances will have that little lamp that glows orange. That's called a neon tube, and a neon tube, many ham operators would use those on their receivers on the antenna circuit on their receiver to drain off any voltage spikes that might come in from the atmosphere, because the number of it was an NE2, and that was like a miniature gas tube, and those things will ionize and conduct at 90 volts. So if you had an antenna circuit, if your receiver could handle up to 90 volts, then an NE2 was a very good way to drain off any excess energy, because that gas in that tube, that neon gas, would ionize at 90 volts and drain off that energy. So it would drain it to ground and protect the front end of that receiver.
So that would be a November Echo numeral 2. November Echo.
That's correct.
Numeral 2. Okay.
That's correct. Right. Now, they're not going to pass a lot of current, but if you just have some static electric charges that are coming in on a receiving antenna, Those Annie tube bulbs were very good for that.
I've had my postal scale, digital postal scale, ruined by lightning. I had a very nice cordless telephone system ruined by lightning. I just unplug everything. If I'm not using it, I unplug it. And that way I have peace of mind knowing that lightning's not going to hurt the equipment. I may take the next step and go ahead and get the gas tube power strips, but I'm not sure I would trust it given the inconvenience and the expense of having to replace that stuff. I would probably still unplug it.
Oh, I would too, John. Unplug it when it's not being used, unless it's something that you have to have on. We can come back from the break. I'll elaborate a little bit on the gas tubes and the best way to set them up.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday tonight. Let's continue, Tom, this discussion, please.
Okay, on the gas tubes, I think one of the best setups, and it would not be inexpensive, but so it's going to cost a few dollars, but it would be one of the units that goes right at the power panel. Now, when you protect the incoming line right there, you don't allow any of that excessive energy to go to the rest of the building, whether it be your home, office, industrial building. You want to clamp that static charge right where it comes in the building, and that's really one of the most effective spots to put any type of gas tube system. I mean, it may cost as much as $500 for a system like that, but you're going to stand a much better chance of protecting the whole building. You could also have secondary gas tubes at particular equipment, and that would help. That would make it all the better. But I really feel that a system right at the power panel is the best place. That's what I use here, John. And then I do use those NE2 bulbs on the receiving antennas. I use separate antennas for receiving and transmitting. And I, on the receiving antenna, I'll put those gas tubes. If you run a lot of transmitter power, many times your separate receiving antenna will pick up your transmitted signal and overload the receiver front end. So that helps to drain that off. So I'll put those NE2 bulbs on my antennas as well.
All right. Well, yeah. That's good information, because a friend of mine, a mutual acquaintance of ours, Tom, he had literally thousands of dollars of damage because of a lightning strike, and he had the most sophisticated lightning protection that money can buy, up to NATO standards, quite frankly, and it took him more than a year to track down all the little bits and pieces hidden in his system from the lightning damage. So it's serious business. Serious.
Yes, it is. And John, I can tell you something else, and everybody should take this into consideration. If you do have lightning damage and an insurance adjuster wants to take care of it right away and make you, you know, accept their payment and sign a release, and that's the end of it, don't do it. Wait a while. Wait even a couple of months, because many solid-state devices at the microscopic level will have holes punched through the silicon wafer that makes up the internal workings of that part, and they will start to fail at a slow rate. I mean, it could take weeks or months before they actually fail. This happened to me many years ago at my factory. A huge lightning bolt hit the edge of the building and actually melted several feet of the guttering off the building, and that damaged one of my CNC machines that we use for drilling and routing on the printed circuits. It blew out the control panel, and the insurance adjuster came in, looked at everything, and they wanted to take care of it right now. And I wouldn't sign off because it turned into almost a $25,000 loss when they wanted to pay for just a few parts that would have cost them maybe $3,000. So I waited a couple of months before we started.
Good for you, Tom. Good for you. Sir, we are out of time. We'll talk privately soon. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Phil Myers. Stay tuned.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovine.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.